We asked a producer, Simon Rettner, to find out how the grid has served artists throughout history.
Grids go back as far as we know there is any kind of expressive impulse in human beings.
Professor Rosalind Krauss wrote back in 1978 that the grid is almost mystical.
I mean, nobody invented the grid. It's graph paper. There are grids in cave painting. It's simply a way of rationalizing the deployment of images on a plane surface.
During the early Renaissance, Florentine architect Filippo Brunelleschi discovered a way to use a grid that would permanently change Western art. Brunelleschi drew a system of converging lines to one particular point on a canvas. And for the first time, he could accurately depict the Piazza della Signoria in three dimensions. Here is art critic Dan Cameron.
He suddenly had this idea of rendering things in perspective as a tool, as something that didn't have any necessary meaning of its own. And with time, that tool then became the springboard for other innovations and other developments in architecture. For example, the idea of the assembly line would never have been possible without the idea of rendering this idea of an orderly process in space.
During the 20th century, at the height of modernism, the grid pushed its way to the foreground. Abstract painters like Piet Mondrian and Agnes Martin employed the grid for their entire careers as the primary pictorial image in their artwork. They believed their paintings were a gateway towards transcendence and absolute harmony.
Well, the way Agnes Martin uses grids is to, well, she draws the grid, the lines of the grids in graphite pencil on canvases that have been stained a very pale color. The grid breaks up that plain surface, the sort of physical fact of a monochrome canvas, and causes it to shimmer in the way that, say, impressionist brushstrokes cause an atmospheric shimmer on the surface of the canvas. And this gives the quality of cloudiness to Martin's paintings.
I don't think that this kind of abstraction makes sense anymore in our age. I think it did at a time when we were still very much in the thrall of modernism and the possibility of an optimistic future through modern thought and modern expression, I think was very much a part of the culture that we lived in and the air that we breathed. To some degree, Agnes Martin's work or Mondrian's work is an expression of this idea of the pure grid seen in and of itself, unadorned, unframed, unmarked, unblemished. And now the grid is I mean, it's corrupted. It's teeming and overflowing with life. The grid is inhabited. It's a real concrete place. We're in the middle of it.
Cameron has gathered the work of 24 artists from all over the world in a show he called Living Inside the Grid. Jennifer Belandi builds models of buildings using contact sheets of photography, lighting them from within like light boxes. Her latest is an 8-foot model of the Lever House, a landmark skyscraper conceived by Gordon Bunshaft in 1957. The way Belandi put it together, each brightly lit office window is a different frame of photography. But as you gaze voyeuristically into the windows, you notice that some of them contain glowing cubes of washing machines and dryers.
I was photographing these various store windows downtown, and there was a store, an appliance store, that they hadn't changed their window display since around 1957. And it was illuminated at night, and it was just a really beautiful, almost ethereal vision. And I took a lot of photographs of that window, which is broken up into these little modular units of washing machines and refrigerators and dryers, the kind of things that are supposed to make life easier.
Belandi's building radiates with the same aquamarine luminescence of the real Lever House in Midtown Manhattan, only she calls it Appliance House.
It's kind of like the fading glow of yesterday's promise or something, I think. Of course, I had to project myself into one of the office spaces in the Lever House to sort of insert the one human presence into this structure that's otherwise just populated by appliances.
Frames within frames within frames, the grid not only proliferates as an essential tool for organizing space and ideas, but it provides us with a greater metaphor for understanding contemporary life.
The grid is not only something we can't get out of, it runs right through us. It dominates the way we look at the world around us. It is sort of the irreducible sign, if you want, of the world that we live in today.
I think of artists as kind of recognizers of patterns. And, you know, yes, the grid is a prevalent structure, but I think that there are other structures around which our imaginations or our lives can circle. I have to believe that.
For Studio 360, I'm Simon Rentner.
You can see images of Jennifer Bolandi's and Agnes Martin's work and of the show Living Inside the Grid at studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson, talking today with Chuck Close. Chuck, do you buy that idea that nobody invented the grid, that it's somehow primal and has some mystical, essential meaning or power or existential truth?
You know, everything from fabric, everything else that's woven, the grid has been part of how things have been constructed. Thatching and woven structures. I think it grew out of necessity and practicality, and it would have been there no matter what.
I guess in a certain sense, the grid is the ultimate obvious convenience to sewing things together, building inhabitable structures, all of it. And that's where it comes from.
I know that one of the really important primal experiences for me as a child was watching my grandmother knit and crochet and make quilts and afghans and things like that, a lot of which look a lot like my work today. She also would crochet small pieces and then put them together to make even bigger pieces. I think there's a lot of what I do that has a lot to do with what was traditionally called women's work. So I think it has a lot to do with construction. And I try to build a painting rather than paint it.
That's interesting. It's like there's an almost primal quality to grids, and we as humans know they're there even if we aren't entirely conscious of knowing they're there.
I think it goes back to something that I think we feel within our body, the rhythmic beat of the grid. Music, tapping your foot to the beat of music and feeling when music changes from one kind of time to another. Those are things that you feel with your body. And I think through your eyes, you feel incremental spaces as well. You're driving down the road and the rhythm of the telephone poles or the fence posts, you begin to feel it rather than think it. And so I think that's why everyone feels they have such a personal investment in or take on things that are made that way. They understand it. I think as an artist, I drop crumbs on the trail, Hansel and Gretel style, you know, for people to pick up, and they can understand how things happen, how things get built, demystify the process. But we all sense it. We all feel it, whether we intellectualize it or not.